Welcome back, folks, to a new season of Be a Fan Podcast. We are headed into the summer, and we are excited because not just one news dropped last week about the format change, but then we got a huge bomb this morning, and we're still trying to process that information. And for this show, I have co-host Andrea here with me to talk a little bit about what this all means, how that affects the whole region, and of course we will talk about NACL because this has a direct effect on them as well. So how are you doing so far, Andrea? How's your break been?
Just okay. I was sick during the break, That happened. Yeah,
you survived that one. But I heard it was bad.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm so excited for the LCS to come back.
Yeah, starting this weekend, right? And speaking of which, this show is recorded on Tuesday evening on June 11th, and I'm sure a lot of news will come out. So let's just get over something that, you know, if it's already been revealed since last week, and we didn't get a chance to talk about that. But overall, the LCS itself is moving to a best of three, and then they will only play a single round robin. And the schedule is also very, very weird to me because they don't play every single weekend. They play maybe like, let's say, they play 3 weekends. They take a break and they come back in late July. And then they take there's a second break this time between, according to the schedule, somewhere they have another break before they finish out the split. So that I'm guessing this can both coincide with like when Worlds start, when VCT is happening, and there's also this, Esports World Championship that goes on. So there's a lot of changes even just for this summer. But that announcement, it finally happened. They're moving to best of threes. Off the top of your head, do you have any like thoughts about, you know, the timing of this, or, you know, just the fact that they only face each other once for the whole split and how that would shape out? Would that
definitely
help us
a little bit. I'm probably on the minority, which I don't really see this much of an improvement. Like, it's just best of three is great, but if we only see one single round robin, it's barely more games than we used to have. And that's considering that we used to have 10 teams and they will play at least 2 games per season. So it's like we now have 8 teams and they can play up to 3 games per season. But up to, you know? Because some of them are just going to be 2-0s. Like, we could just be seeing a bunch of 2-0s. And it's just exactly the same amount of games that we used to have. So it doesn't feel like for stage games, they are not getting that more anymore. Sure, like the best of three is like a different angle, but like it just feels, I don't know, like for example, like FlyQuest and Team Liquid, they are the opening game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like we're not going to see them play a game until playoffs.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah, exactly.
And it feels like it kills a little bit of the hype. Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that sentiment too, because they're on a different patch where they start the split and they don't see each other until maybe playoffs. What are some of your other thoughts? You were about to chime in.
No, I mean, and it's like, there's that, and there's the middle, this huge break in the middle, which also like breaks momentum, and who knows, like it could help some teams, it could mess up with other teams. It just feels like it could stunt some development if there's any development to be had. I don't know. The schedule is just so
it's scuffed. We've seen it too in Spring Split. The team that took that, like, Mark wanted to call it 2 week, but realistically, it felt like a 3 week break. Some teams didn't come back looking the same.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're going to experience too. On top of that, during the break, it's not even a break for like FlyQuest and TL because they have to go to this World Cup event. And Who knows what's happening there, right?
I mean, it doesn't seem to be having that many high stakes. It's like basically MSI 2.0, so I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder how much thought went into that.
I don't even remember.
Yes, yeah, you're right.
The tournament format for that. But yeah, if it's just like Santiel going to another international tournament, yeah, doesn't feel like that different.
From a fan perspective, this doesn't really create that same energy, that same anticipation, right? We've already seen this team. We want to kind of know, see maybe a different team or how they've performed. But, you know, they get like, what, 3 weekends and then they are off again? On top of that, there's also other controversies about this World Cup. And, you know, we don't have the space to talk about this in here, but I'd certainly hear the point. And it's really, at the end of the day, feels like teams need money. Organizations need money. And Liquid came out outright and said that with a whole list of things that they said in among that. But yeah, I guess I was really liking the idea of best of threes, but as you lay it out with the breaks, with the they don't see each other until playoffs, if they make playoffs, right? It feels very disjointed, more than I can remember any season. Yeah, so we'll get a chance to dive in after the first week. We get to kind of talk about what we like, what we don't like, because, you know, part of the things that we didn't even talk about, not every team will play every weekend too, I believe. And that in it of itself feels weird. Some weeks they'll start on a Thursday because they don't want to compete for the stage, and some weeks they will be there with VCT happening, and I don't know. Very, very disorganized in my head, at least. Yeah, so that is the change on the LCS front. Now, the NACL has also some minor changes. I think one of the more exciting things is the partnership. And this is maybe more so for people who really know more about the partnerships between... What's the next person's name?
Yeah, the partnership allows the NACL to become more of a legitimate sort of league in which teams can have sponsors and all, like, well, things have partners and that they can have sponsor names, for example, the Starforge partnership that Fierce has going on and the other partnership that FlyQuest has going on. So it's very, very good in general for the scene. So it's a positive change for... In the sea of things that we are receiving lately, I think this might help making it more legit and making it feel like a little bit more like its own thing. They are definitely working towards branding the NACL as its own thing instead of, I don't know if you saw, but like the Path to LCS account renamed to Watch NACL. Which means like we are no longer considering this to be like the child of the LCS, but rather its own thing. So it's like that. That's the whole thing that's going on right now. So it seems like a good approach because this is no longer like the LCS Development League. This is Tier 2 League, and this is and everyone's gonna try to win. And there's all the money matches too. Which means like people are more incentivized to winning games. So it's like there's a lot of talent under the LCS that doesn't fit anymore because, you know, we reduce the league to 8 teams. So there's a lot of talent floating around. So what are you going to do with that? Well, if they have some space in this league, in this new Tier 2 league, that's the NACL, it's good, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I hope it works out. I hope it works out, yeah.
This is also the first time I kind of see an intentional, like, resources poured into the Tier 2 system. And it has to start from somewhere. So, again, it really continues that trend of 2024 being a lot of positive changes or trying things out. And this one really helps more visibility, I think, for the players. And I really do like it that they are now on YouTube. because that's kind of where I'm most of the time when I'm on the road. I watch it on YouTube rather than go on Twitch. I avoid all the ads. Oh, yeah.
A lot of people were complaining about that one for a while.
And
So, yeah, good little changes to the ecosystem. I hope they will prove out to be good.
So we'll just quickly go over some of the roster things because we already addressed most of it from the LCS side. I'd like to hear your thoughts about the NACL because they added Blue Otter and CCG Esports, right, to replace the other two. They really worked the relegation system in the tier two system, which, you know, Blue Otter is also partnered up with Cloud9.
With C9, yes.
C9, right. So whatever that means, whatever what that's worth, you know, that
I think they're helping them out with their socials. And I don't remember what else. Maybe some coaching and stuff like that. You know, sometimes people get to talk to coaches or get to look at bots or stuff like that. That's usually the type of thing that LCS teams do for amateur teams. So, Supernova it's still partnered with NRG as far as I know. FlyQuest, they have their own team. Team Liquid has their own team. I don't know if I'm missing any other partnership. I think not. Yeah, I think not. So
no.
Yeah, and well, the collegiate teams are Drone Steel, who used to be named Maribel, has all the backup of Maribel, who has, you know, their whole infrastructure for esports, and so does Winthrop. Winthrop, who's a new team in the NACL. Winthrop is coming in instead of another team that I don't remember which one it was. Sorry, I'm being a little bit out of the loop. But so like a lot of things changed. Wildcard, I remember now. So like Wildcard. They didn't get demoted, but they just apparently just dropped out of the NACL in the middle of the season. So they had to add, you know, another new team because they had a spot free. So Winthrop, it's a collegiate team that has had very good results in the last few years. So it's like almost kind of a no-brainer. They have really good finishes across the board during the last couple of years. So yeah, the rosters are not all out, but there's a really interesting mix-up of rosters. New players are coming in, so it's kind of exciting to see how it's gonna pan out. I'm like looking at the roster right now, and I'm just thinking like, wow. So we have, for example, Ablaze Olive making his comeback. I don't know if you remember, guys, that Ablaze Olive retired a couple of years ago.
He's coming back. Okay.
It was in 2023, I think. He was playing for Immortals. And then he retired mid the split, and he got replaced by, by Bolulu, right?
Bolulu. Yeah. That's
so
right.
Like, yeah, that was in the spring of 2023, and yeah, XU who recently got, he's gonna be playing with XU who recently got thrown out of Dignitas in what many people considered a little bit of a jerk move. By Dignitas.
Oh. believe it or not, so we lambasted them in the other episodes, but yeah.
Yeah, so Philip, XTU, Ablaze Olive, Instinct of former TSM, and Winsome, who used to play for FlyQuest, and for C9. So it's a very, it's a team that has a lot of people who played in the LCS. So that's like a very different approach to what Fear was doing in past splits. These guys had to change jungler because Perry retired, which is a common thing that's been happening. A lot of tier two players have been posting retirement posts. So yeah, Tenacity, Yukino, Young, they're still playing with Young. Tomo, who also got replaced from Dignitas. He replaced by Sven. Sven's comeback. And he's going to be playing on these guys, which I think it's a fantastic thing. Like, I think Tomo is absolutely perfectly capable of running this league if given the chance. So I'm really excited to see how he does. And then we have some Moose Hater making his comeback. I don't know if anyone remembers Moose Hater, but he was like the Garen guy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that brought out Garen.
Garen top.
And made everyone learn how to play Garen. It was absolutely fantastic. So he's back. He went on a vacation and decided to quit lead for a little bit. And then now he's coming back to show us. Let's see if he brings another different pick this split. If he's going to still torment everyone on the Garen or forcing Garen bans again. And Blue Other is an interesting team. They have one of my most looked forward players. I've really been looking forward to seeing Levitate play in the LCS. He's a Navy carry. He first qualified to the NACL. Levitate first qualified to the NACL in the spring of 2023, but he didn't manage to play in NACL because he seemed disbanded. So he's been he's been trying to get in for a while. So now he's made it. So I'm looking forward to it. Robex, who is one of the most supports that have been on the verge of being promising. Sammy King, who's a new mid laner to the NACL. He's been very hyped up. He looked very exciting during the different scouting things that were going on at the start of the years. And Music and Quacker, who were a top jungle pairing in the NACL earlier. So, like, I think this team is definitely one of the things I'm looking forward for. Of the development teams I'm looking forward for. Definitely the top half that has, you know, the FlyQuest team that already won. Mm-hmm. They only changed mid laner. Now they're mid laner. They promoted Quad to the LCS team. And now in mid lane, they have Bradley, who was the previous TL Academy top laner. Bradley role swapped top lane to play for Team Liquid. He played for Team Liquid Academy for 2 years, I believe.
As mid laner?
So he used to play mid laner. No, as a top laner. He used to play mid lane in 2021. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely slaying in the mid lane. And I think Spawn was the one who convinced him to role swap to top lane because mid lane was very hard for NA players, as we know. and he swapped to top lane, completely slayed in top lane for 2 years, still didn't get his chance to play in the LCS. And now he went to Korea, he played top lane, he played mid lane, he was completely murdering it there. So he's back. He played in the qualifiers. He was 1v9 carrying his team. I swear to God, this guy was legitimately 1v9 in the games I watched. And I'm really excited to see Bradley. He's one of the most excited mid laners I remember when I started watching Tier 3 back in 2021. He was really, really excited, and I'm really excited to see him back as a mid laner in such a strong team. Like, FlyQuest Challengers was already very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they are losing Quad, and now they are putting Bradley in. So it's really... I'm just really excited for Bradley's return to mirror lane. And then there's also Team Liquid. Team Liquid Challengers did not change anything for this split. They should have better results, I assume, now that they are more used to each other. Definitely was weird that they weren't doing super well early in spring. But they should do pretty fine. I already mentioned these guys. I think that team should be really strong with Tomo now. And hopefully Yukino will have also very good results. He's also a very promising jungler from the last couple of years. And yeah, Supernova still have a very strong top jungle in Faisal Kenbi. They have a new exciting mid laner in Toasty. And they have a Diamond in the bot lane who's been just veteran in support in Tier 2. And they have Lance, who was in my opinion, one of the strongest ADCs in the league last split. So I'm really think the top half of this league should be very, very strong, should be very contested. And the development teams look very interesting. I mean, they have some really interesting pieces. So I hope the pieces can show up, even if the results of the teams are not that good. And yeah, sorry, I went off.
No, that's great.
I got very
excited. Get us all familiar. Yeah. The there will be more eyes on NACL, and now we get to watch and some of these names you already talk about which ones you're very excited about, and those are the names that I definitely are more familiar with. So it's a lot of talent, man. It's just a lot of talent, and it's a shame not, like you said, some of them are forced into retirement because they couldn't find a team. You know, but now we get to see them, and they're incentivized to play well too, right? It's not just a developmental league like you mentioned in the earlier part.
Yeah,
it's
not, we haven't gotten into the news, I think.
Not yet. Not yet. We will get there.
Definitely incentivized for that now.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a preview of what's to come. Just you know, do you think FlyQuest will stomp again? Disguise maybe. They also, like Team Liquid, started off really slow, but I think they picked it up at the end, right, in spring.
Yeah, I think the format in NACL definitely messed up with a little bit of stuff. I feel like, yeah, but I think definitely this guy should start so much more stronger this time around. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, yeah, since they already, like, have split on there, they should really do well. And I think, yeah, for sure, I think they should be so much, much stronger. And yeah, Team Liquid too, I will hope.
Awesome. When does NACL start? It's the same week, right?
It should be the same weekend.
Should be the same week. Okay.
But I don't
know. Is something.
No exact awesome. Time.
Did you put out a spreadsheet like you did for spring so I can like enter like my predictions?
Yeah, I have it. I put the spreadsheet on.
Yeah. For everyone else, can visit the spreadsheet on the Alaric.
Yeah, it's
Oracle
Saturday Elixir. At. It's overlapping, actually. They're allowing to overlap. So, like, right. For me, it's 7. For you, should be 6?
6 o'clock, yep.
It's 8. 8. It should be 8.
Oh, I'm... Oh, you're...
So, NACL starts at 8 p.m. on Saturday for the Eastern...
East Coasters.
Timers.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Lots to look forward to right after, you know, when LCS finishes. Which I think they will finish much earlier.
Kinda. I mean, it could really overlap. But it could not, you know? C9 plays Dignitas. Oh my goodness. Well, we'll get into that. But yeah. The first game of the NACL is FlyQuest Challengers versus the new renamed Dragonsteel. If people didn't find out, Dragonsteel, it's named that because they're partnered with Brandon Sanderson. So very interesting partnership going on. But then this is Maribel's team. This is Maribel University's team. This Samudo, Yuji, Spyrax, Scared Jerry, Psycho. Should be expected to be stable since these teams, the collegiate teams, play during the whole year. And they never
played the CLL finals too.
They literally just play CLL finals. So like they are pretty much ready to jump in, you know? They are always playing there. That's the advantage they have over everyone else. They just play way more games than everyone else. So yeah, that's the first matchup. Should be interesting.
So
literally,
Certi
just
like...
played CLO finals, by the way. So this is Certi versus Maribel, and Certi was just playing CLO finals. This was it Sunday, Saturday. I don't remember, but he was just playing CLO finals this weekend on St. Louis. Yeah. So that's wild. That's wild. Anyway, Certi versus Maribel, once again. Don't miss it.
Someone's going to get either revenge or like a, you know, they have their number. But it's always impressive me how like these universities play in both like the amateur and then like, or I mean the collegiate scene, and then they play in the tier 2.
And then they go to school too. These kids are incredible, right? Imagine they go to the classes too. It's crazy.
They're student athletes, I guess. I would guess. lots and lots. And we'll talk a lot more and we'll do a better job this time around to keep up. Because we have you to kind of guide us through what happens.
Yes. I will do my best.
Awesome. All right. Mage, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, what's up? How's it going?
Welcome back.
Sorry, I'm late.
All good. We have the full cast here. We have already covered like kind of like the summer changes. I wonder if you have some last words about the best of threes, the breaks, the whole shebang with the summer. before we move on to the biggest news that dropped today.
Just like I've said before, best of threes are really cool. Single round robin kind of sucks. The break is really stupid, and the Esports World Cup is for fucking bitches, and I hate anybody who participates in it, which, yes, does include Team Liquid.
Yes, absolutely. They put out a whole video and a whole paragraph by Steve. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that.
Bro, no, that is such bullshit. It is such absolute horseshit, and I hate it, and it makes me so pissed that I'm a fan of this organization, and it's like, you're fucking facilitating hatred, and it pisses me off beyond belief, and I cannot stand for it, and it's just despicable and disgusting, and I tweeted about it too. I said, like, hey, if the $500 Ahri skin pisses you off, then you should be also equally, if not definitely more upset than people participating or Riot participating or allowing teams to participate and their games to be participated in during the Esports World Cup. That should also be something worthy of your hatred and your criticism. But you know, whatever, people are just more pissed about the faker Ahri skin than they are about literal prosecution of an entire people.
Absolutely,
go off, guys. I guess good job.
Awesome. All right, as it comes, we'll probably either choose not to talk about it or really criticize them more during that Esports World Cup scene, because in any case, biggest news that dropped today. Yes, that's right, people. Joey Chestnut is banned from the hot dog eating contest.
God damn it. How could they do that to my boy like that? Oh, man.
Andrea probably has no idea what we're talking about. So July 4th is canceled because of that. Yeah. If you like the hot dog eating contest, which I really can't stomach watching it. I've watched it once. But yeah,
that's okay. Pretty nasty.
For serious though, the future of the whole LOL esports has changed in one tweet. It started last night with a mysterious tweet by LS that says it's done. We're just waiting for news to break. Then Monte Cristo kind of dropped more hints about the changes. We kind of heard and saw this coming. We just didn't know what it would look like. But it is official. Americas will be a combination of LCS, CBLOL, LLA, and then also will include the NACL as we the tier twos from all that includes the NACL and other tier two from all the other regions to participate in a single, it's now a single region. It's something similar is happening in APAC, where they're combining PCS, VCS, LCO, and LJL, I believe. All the other regions will stay more or less the same, but this affects LCS as a whole because we may no longer call ourselves LCS, but Americas. This is something akin to what they saw in Valorant and kind of like saw some success there. And the format, one of the things I'm glad at is that they didn't copy the exact same structure, but this one does bring up a lot of conversation and a lot of speculations. I've been on the LCS Discord all day just to hear what people talk. So, for those who are, you know, visual and does not, you know, having a more challenging time following audibly, which I am one of them, just have a pen and paper ready and know that the Americas will be split into two conferences, the North and the South. The North is what we will probably focus on a lot more because it includes six LCS team. You hear that right? Six LCS team. One team from LLA and one guest team from a tier two, I would imagine, either from the LLA or from NA. And that would mean LCS would be part, or NACL. NACL would be part of it. The South Conference will consist of six teams from Brazil, CBLOL, one team from LLA, and one guest team from a tier two. The other big change is there will be three splits going forward with three international events. Let's just focus on this whole America's change first, then before we talk about the different international friend and how it's all split up. What was it like to just kind of hear this news?
My region is dead, so...
Yep, there it is. It's a horror show.
No, I mean, like, Okay, nice. Latin America only gets two teams, and they are going to go to different regions where they don't have any, when the fans don't have any attachment to them, and who knows how they could be able to integrate, especially for North America, for the team that goes to North America. It's like you also have to move to an incredibly expensive country compared to your usual standard of living. So it sounds like a nightmare, to be honest. And yeah, thank you for all the good times, LLA. It was a pleasure to watch you for the last years. And then LCS may not be alive as we know it anymore, so there's also that. The first thing I thought, actually, Prime, was, God, I'm going to have to rename my website, aren't I?
Like, yes.
It cannot be named LCS Profiles anymore. What is it going to be named now? Like, what am I going to do about that?
Oh my gosh, you're right. Right. Oh, this hurts. I don't know. We'll have to come up with a name, with a brand, and what directions you want to take, because, oh man, that's a big undertaking.
How about you, mate? How you felt?
Oh, it's a horror show. It's awful. Like, this is actually, like, people are going to be excited about it, and, like, sure, I get it. You can be excited for it. It is an interesting change. But can we just talk about how fucking hilarious it is that Riot totes, and they were fucking pushing this for so long? This is the highest growth that we've seen year by year, split by split, that we have had in literal years. The LCS is growing. The LCS is doing so good. And now they're just like, hey, we're going to make this huge systematic change that's going to fundamentally warp the way that the LCS functions. And the entire branding of the LCS is most likely going to be changed as we know it. So you're going to sit there, you're going to talk about how good the LCS is doing, and then you're going to completely change the way that the LCS is going to function.
Oh, that
makes total sense. That makes total sense. The LCS is not going to exist the way that that has ever existed before, and ever. It's not going to be the same brand that we know it to be. Neither is CBLOL, and especially neither is LLA, because LLA is completely fucking dead. Is completely fucking boned. They get two fucking teams, and there's like, they have basically, like, it used to be like, yeah, you're guaranteed to, like, show up in international tournaments.
Oh, yeah, you know how you're gonna do.
Now there's no guarantee, and there's like a very good chance that one of those teams is just gonna be completely fucked, as Andrea said, because there's like the switch up to North America is going to be horrendous. It is going to be difficult beyond belief. And it's not just culture shock, it's also just like,
no, imagine you have to pay the players California minimum too. Imagine if you have to do that. Like, which LLAR can afford that? Like, I don't know about that guy. Guys.
Fucking Loud, man. Loud's going to Loud's coming to fucking LCS, man. There's no other option, I think.
Oh my
God. I don't know. I think this change is, like, interesting in concept. I like it as an idea, and if you talked to me about it more, I would have been like, all right, that's pretty cool. Let's maybe flesh this out a little bit more. But instead, they just randomly drop this bomb on a fucking, like, Tuesday. And it's like, well, shit, man. I don't know. I don't know. And it's like, Brazilian fans are pissed, obviously, as they should be, because they're fucking losing, like, basically an entire league and, like, half of their other league. And it's like, okay, what do you fucking do now? And then, like, there's North American people who are just like, yeah, no, we're pissed too, because we're losing two more teams. And there's going to be the big question. And, like, here's the big discussion that's going to pop out of all of this for LCS fans. It's like, oh, what two orgs are going to leave?
Which two orgs?
Because you have a guest spot and you have an LLA team, right? First of all, everyone's going to look at Immortal and Dig, and I'm just going to say it right now. I don't want either of those teams out of LCS. I'm gonna say this right now as a long-standing fan of the LCS and as a fan of some of the players or staff that are on both in those organizations. If I were to pick two organizations to leave North America, I would pick Shopify Rebellion, because they did fucking absolutely nothing on their first split here, and I'm not entirely sure that they are dedicated to this esport or LCS as like as an entirety. And my second one is going to be the ones going to shock a lot of people, but I think it should be 100 Thieves. Because I don't think 100 Thieves gives a single fuck about LCS, to be entirely honest. I think, and also the fans that are of, like, the 100 Thieves variety, I would say a good portion of them are not necessarily fans of LCS or League of Legends even. They are fans of the organization 100 Thieves, so they'll be followed no matter where they go. right? And, like, honestly, I don't think 100 Thieves wants to be in the LCS. I think they're losing money being in the LCS, and they would much rather focus their efforts in other esports. And I can 100% see them leaving LCS as an entirety.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I guess reality is just going to go like that and ask, who wants out?
Pretty much.
And they're all going to line up like, oh, maybe I do want out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a really good chance that they just stroll up and like, hey, guys, so like, two of you got to go. I get at least one of these organizations is going to raise their fucking hand as quick as TSM, bro. At least one of these orgs is going to be out of here as quickly as they fucking can.
I'm not
entirely convinced that it's Immortals either. I think Immortals actually cares. Like, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I think Immortals actually kind of gives a shit. They've been putting way more effort into their content, and like, their team is not bad. And I know we're going to get into power rankings eventually, but Immortals was not the worst team in North America last split, despite their ranking. I'm just going to say it. They were not even close to the worst team in North America. They had some bad games. They had, I would say, maybe the worst jungler on their team, and that was pretty tough. But, like, Immortals actually gives a shit. And I think it's actually, like, it's not, yeah, they're last place a lot of the time, but they do care. And I think it's obvious that they do care. Like, you can feel it when you watch the players or when you see the content that has been recently coming out. You can feel that they care versus a team like, I don't think 100 Thieves gives a shit. Like, they make their quote-unquote content and whatnot, but I don't think they give a shit about League of Legends. Like, they care way more about their brand.
Yep. Anything to add, Andrew?
No, I think it's just, yeah, people are always crying about wanting Immortals and Dignitas out of the label. The problem for me is, like, yeah, that's all cool and that, but, like, that's how many people are going to lose their jobs again? Mm. We already had this happen once. Like, we already had two entire teams drop off, and it's like, five more player spots that are not available for like, you know, when you want to be an LCS player, you want to aspire to this, and there's like, there's suddenly less jobs and less jobs and less jobs, and even not player, like coaches, you know, management, all of those people, like, it's just, it's a lot, you know?
Absolutely. And this is probably the biggest shock and change that it's coming, that the each region, all regions are losing, you know.
Yeah,
jobs.
There's a big amount of teams that are being dropped all around. Not only in Americas, in all of the American regions, but also in the APAC region. So it's like, ouch.
Yeah, and they have a whole new headache to deal with over there. And I'm just I'm paying attention to that as well. But I haven't gotten the full picture yet of what that means for them, but one of the things I'm hearing is that LJL are not even guaranteed a spot in that combination. And okay, LCO is totally dead. And this is what I'm reading from Hina, who is a very avid poster in the LCS Discord. LCO is dead, so Oceania is dead. LJL is not totally dead, but probably dead. Coming back to Americas, though, we had lost two teams, and now we're losing two more. It's happening so quickly and consecutively.
We technically lost three.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, TSM's gone, right? Is that the one you're counting?
TSM's gone. CLG left and became NRG, and then EG left. So we technically lost three teams.
Golden Guardians left.
Oh, we lost four fucking teams, bro. Like,
yeah.
Dude. NA's dead. NA's fucking dead. It's over. GG, go next. It's fucking dead.
This is what happens when there's not enough money and the region's not growing, right? So they're consolidating. And this is a business move, and they're very clear about it. This was a business move out of all, and that's kind of where where all the hatred and you know, the anger is coming from, because we're furthering limiting opportunities and jobs. Now, what I did like about the idea of this format is now introducing tier two, basically telling them, hey, you have a shot to show us why you belong or why you're better than some of the teams that may not look like they care or they belong in there. But there's also a lot of questions they haven't really answered about, like, how they decide who is going to participate as a tier two. Are they split again, such as the region? Are NACL solely in the North Conference, or are they also eligible for the South Conference? And which of the teams are the remainder of LLA going to be considered tier 2? Are the teams that are dropped from CBLOL going to be in the tier 2? So many questions. So many questions.
The big question that I have is, I know for tier 2 in NA, like, not all players are playing, like, a lot of people are playing remote, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what if you qualify for that relegation spot or whatever, and like the guest spot, and you're not in LA? Like, is it the organization that's getting promoted, or is it the players? Because not all those players are going to be able to pack up, move, and go to LA and live there and play on the Riot Games Arena stage. Not everyone's able to just uproot their life in that way. And like, sure, a lot of people probably really love this game and really want their shot to do that, but I'm not entirely certain that everybody can, right? So like, my big question is like, oh, is it the organization that gives moves up? Because if it's just the org and not the players, and who's to say that it's not going to turn into some other like random shit show that people have been talking about for years, with imports and North American talent this and that? And if it is the entire team that gets moved up, players and organization, how is the situation going to be handled when a player cannot make that move?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just talked about that too, right, Andreas? A lot of these we have two collegiate teams in the tier 2. They play remotely? Are they games?
Collegiate? Mm-hmm. I mean, the NACL plays remote.
Mm-hmm. So they're all already like in different parts of the country.
Yeah. some of the, I think all of FlyQuest is remote too. Yeah, they all play remote, except for like the finals that were how do you say it? In person? Yeah.
Yeah. They're in person and on stage.
I think FlyQuest had quad in their facilities, but other than that, they were playing remote, as far as I know.
Pretty much remote, right? And now you're asking them to be for a whole split to move to LA. How's that going to work?
Yeah, because realistically, like, all the tier 2 organizations right now cannot possibly afford to do something like that. Yeah, but it's really, really hard.
And what if it is, like, FlyQuest or Team Liquid that win?
I'm pretty sure they can't.
That would be also strange, because would it be like Team Liquid Blue, Team Liquid White, or like FlyQuest Green, FlyQuest Red?
Like the time when, for example, in the old days, you had teams like Cloud9, you know, that had their challenger team, and the challenger teams will go up and they will have to sell that to someone else. So like they did it with C9, they sold it to FlyQuest, and then FlyQuest became C9. Yellow, which back then yellow was the FlyQuest color. So
that was another thing that's
that
gonna come
be
up.
The case.
Yes, that will be crossed when it happens, I suppose.
There will have to be more details about how the promotion will work out. Yeah.
So then let's turn to the discussion we already started. I don't know too much about Brazil, so I can't even speculate which four teams will be dropped. But for sure, when it comes to LCS, you'd be surprised, Meiji. The LCS Discord was pretty much on the 100 Thieves likely dropping, because they see it in Nate Shot. He's not very like into League.
He doesn't give a shit, bro. He does not give a single fuck about League of Legends, bro. I could have told you that years ago. Like, this motherfucker does not care. You can't convince me otherwise. And that's fine. He doesn't have to care. He's still the one getting paid at the end of the day. But like, shit, man. It's hard because like, I want to like 100 Thieves, bro. I really do. But I just can't, because I 100 Thieves feels pretty heartless since they won.
Mm-hmm. But your sentiment about Immortals is that's interesting. That's contrasting with the Discord, because the Discord is like, oh, it's done deal. They're gone. They have they're partnered with MIBR, or they are MIBR. So they might just be absorbed back into the Brazil ecosystem. That's one speculation for Immortals. But yeah, I do see that they're trying, especially this split. I agree, they were not the worst team. The results don't bear it out, but they were not the worst team of LCS. Dignitas, there's some people are saying probably them, but they also invested a lot. I don't know how what that would mean, how much that means for them, what they invested for this split.
My thing on Dig is that, like, and it would have been the same sentiment I would have had about CLG or TSM, which is ironic considering that they're both fucking gone now. But it's like, Dignitas is a very historic League of Legends team, right? Like, this is an organization that's been here since, like, the fucking beginning. And the fandom that they have built, although a lot of people would consider it very small, is of the most loyal fans that you can find. Right, because these are guys who were around when like Skaro was still playing professional, right? And like that's where my fandom for Dignitas comes from, is all the way from back then. So it's like I still follow the org because I cared about them back then. There have been iterations of the team that I don't necessarily love, and there have been decisions that they have made that have not gone over super well with me, right? But I'm still a fan of the organization. I do think that the organization does, in fact, give a shit, and there is, in fact, heart that is constantly being, like, it's constantly being injected into their team and into the league from Dignitas, and I think it's really obvious that they care from the way that they built their roster, despite the questionable circumstances around it, but even the way that they built their roster last split, and also with the with how they brought in, I don't necessarily know how to say his name, but the guy who does all like the super sick editing with League of Legends.
Sylvix,
yeah. The way that they brought him in, too, to be like the primary part of their content creation team, like that's sick. Right? So it's like,
yeah.
I think it's really obvious that they care about the league and they care about League of Legends, and that's really important for me as a fan, and that's why I think Dignitas will probably stay around, even if some people don't want them to, because they don't win a lot, but I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to power rankings, but I like this Dig roster, man.
The roster itself is very competitive. It's the way that they got here that's gonna rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, as more news come out, I think this offseason will be a lot of questions and hopefully more answers than whatnot. But as it stands right now, I am optimistic for the longevity of it, or the long term of it. This will, you know, be a bit more sustainable, rather than every offseason we're talking about, oh, is this region going to survive or not? This is the plan going forward. My question would be, like, are they going to keep this format, or are they going to change it year over year to experiment? That's tough. I'm not a big fan of this three splits, personally. I've seen what it did to LEC. I am not that avid of a watcher of the LEC anymore. But I'm curious for your thoughts, because this is going to be across all regions now. They will have three splits and fearless draft.
I fucking hate fearless draft, man. Like, I've talked about it before. I think fearless draft is such a fucking sham, and I think that it ruins the competitive integrity of League of Legends. No, and people will call me a fucking idiot, and people will call me a hater, and they can do that, and I don't really care because it doesn't mean anything to me. But it's like, I think that it fundamentally warps the way that people play the game, and I don't like fearless draft being implemented internationally. I don't like that it's implemented in China right now. I think it's fucking stupid, because now I have a bunch of randos running around playing Zyra fucking jungle in my games, and it's like, yeah, cool, you can do that, but like, I would much rather you play Brand or anything else, man, because you have no idea what you're doing. I mean, other than that, like, I think the three split system is also kind of stupid. Like, I don't know, maybe I am just a hater, man. Maybe I am just like a fucking hater and I despise everything, but like, I don't like the three split system that they use in EU. I think it is fucking horrible. It kills fandom, it burns people out, and also the fact that like the finals basically just them being in-house every single time is just like, who really cares now? The finals don't really mean it. Everyone is just way more excited for, like, it doesn't feel as special. And now people are just like, I just want to see the international tournaments, which is, like, fair. Everybody wants to see more international tournaments. Nobody wants to cut MSI and only have Worlds at the end of the year, right? So it's like, we want more international tournament. We want more cross-regional play. I don't like the way that necessarily that they're doing it here. I think if the only way that they think that they can, because the only way to implement a new tournament, I suppose, is to have a new split. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think there's other ways that you could probably do it, but having a third split, even if it's just, it's like, isn't it like a mini split? And it's only the number one team from each region going to this Fearless Draft tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how that works? Yeah. So it's like, honestly, the split itself, the regular season of the first split of the year, I'm not going to give a shit about. And I'm also not going to care about that first tournament either, just solely based off of the way that they're running it.
Right.
Like one team from each region playing Fearless Draft in a fucking round robin. Like, I don't know, man. That doesn't sound very exciting to me personally. Maybe somebody else out there is fucking absolutely ecstatic about this and they want to see fucking the number one Korean team just slam the fucking number one team from fucking NA or EU or the fucking anywhere else, but it's like, I don't know, man. That's not really super interesting to me. And I get it. It's supposed to be like the best team from each region, and like that's super cool. I would much rather see a bunch of different teams play. I would much rather see not Fearless Draft, because I hate Fearless Draft, and I will, you know, stand. I'll die on that hill. I don't know. I feel, and like me personally, I think the thing that I'm most worried about is this. There is already a drop off split to split from spring to summer, right? Specifically for LCS.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is already this severe drop off because people get like burnt out from watching so much league, or they just don't have the time for it because of the time frame, it's like, if you add another split, I don't, and with the way that they're implementing the two, whatever it's called, between South America and North America, I think viewership is going to overall be down. I think it's going to drop tremendously, potentially even. Because I don't think we're bringing Brazilian fans over to North America with this.
Oh.
Right?
No.
Like, that's not really not happening. All. And, like, we're going to get burnt out. Like, we get to watch our number one team go to the first international tournament of the year, get fucking shit on, and then come back, and then be burnt out playing the second split, and then maybe the team that everybody was super excited for because they made it to that first tournament of the year isn't going to make it to Worlds because they're fucking tired and burnt out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of the things that you're saying are are like hater speech or thinking. I think those are the likely, the most likely scenario that's going to happen in the short term. Whether they can recover and create something new out of this, that is the hope. But at this point, for the people who are used to the old format, right? We know what to expect. We know, you know, how the players are going to perform, and we know the quality was very good. But at this point, when you're cutting it down to, I really hope they're not doing the same as the LEC. I can see the quality drop severely, and there's not enough time for players to develop. There's not a lot of excitement being built at all. In fact, I got bored or just confused about some of the results that are happening in the LEC.
Imagine being the guest team.
Right.
Imagine being the guest team in North America that comes in, and in the first split, you play four games, and then you no longer are capable of qualifying for the tournament. So your season is effectively over. Congratulations! Mm. You made it up!
Yep.
Now what?
Yep.
You play four games and then you're done? That's fucking insane to me.
That's how it looked like for a lot of the players in LEC too, right? They get one split and they're gone. We shall see. All right. Well, before it even gets there, as we're waiting for more information, let's just focus on the remainder of summer and power rankings time. You know, looking at the teams, the changes that are made, definitely certain risers and fallers. I am curious to see kind of like if we have overlap on some of the teams that I'm expected to fall and some of the teams that are expected to rise. So, y'all want me to go first, or you already have yours?
You can go ahead and go first. I can wait. I'm down.
Okay. I have TL number one. It's, you know, I believe in this team. I think they're coming in with the energy and the excitement that they got. They, I don't know how much of a burnout. I feel like they've gotten a good enough break between MSI and now. And this team has that energy that I used to feel for the Young Evil Geniuses, but more so they are more cohesive. I think that there is very little worry about rookie burn. What's that called? The overconfidence, because none of these players are rookies. So there's a lot of veteranship here and experience. My second team is Cloud9. I believe in this team. They need to bounce back, but they can easily fall to my fourth place if they don't come back as I expected them to. It's never been about talent. It's always been about chemistry and coaching. That's a big key one. Third team, probably still say FlyQuest. I think this team is solid, not great. I think they don't need to try to do too much. They are in introducing a new player, Quad, who's not really an actual rookie by any chance.
No,
I found out he's Solka.
Mm-hmm. Solka.
The name Solka is like, oh crap, he's an old DRX player, and that was not a good DRX team. We'll see. He's been really good in NACL. Can you vouch for that, Andrea?
Sorry, what? The NACL? Yeah, he was.
Can you vouch for that, Quad? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, but he's still a rookie, I guess, on the LCS stage. Fourth team, right? Fourth team. I actually have Dignitas based on their roster. I don't want to like this team for what they've done, but I can't deny what they've put together. And Jensen might be even more motivated. This guy just, like, you know, plays well, gets cut, you know. I don't know. It's his second stint with Dignitas. We'll see how that goes, but I'm excited to see Licorice. I'm excited to see Spica and Sven, because they are hungry to prove themselves. I think for the remainders, I will say 100 Thieves, NRG, kind of in the same bubble. NRG really needs to figure out what is happening, because they mental boomed in spring. And can they come back from that? They decided to keep the same roster when they had the opportunity to bring in Surdy or Shiden. Well, nobody's going to get a contract, so strike that. But Surdy, for sure, was an opportunity. But they decided to keep their team together. So Immortals and Shopify will be my last two. I don't even know if I have any. I think Immortals might come out on top better. But Shopify did bring Tomio in for jungle. That was something that we never covered. But that was fun to see. So kind of that's how my power ranking shakes out.
All right. Andrew, do you want to go?
I don't know if I have power rankings. Let me check. I don't think I have made them, because I don't know. It's just also like I want Dignitas to do well, but I feel like that Urk is just cursed. Legitimately, I think whatever they try, it just ends up going bad. So, like, it's crazy. Like, they have Sven, right? So I'm really excited to see Sven play ADC again, and that's all I'm basing my thinking that Dignitas should be with this split, is that Sven is probably very hungry to prove that he still got it, you know? He spent a whole bunch of years playing support and learning how to lane in bot lane in a different way. And Alz was very good last bit. So I think this is a very strong bot lane, and maybe they can make the unthinkable happens, and maybe Dignitas can actually be a top team for once. But I don't know. They're still kind of feel like, man, for this Dignitas, will they actually make it? I don't think I have power rankings, but like I will say, I'm thinking TL should still be pretty much favored to keep winning. I think they have learned how to win, and they hopefully won't forget about it during the split. I do get a lot of EG vibes from this team, except hopefully they don't get mental boomed at the end of the split like happened to EG. Because if you guys don't remember, like EG, well, of course you remember Prime, but like, EG was just 50-50 in the spring, and then they suddenly won. They learned how to win. They don't forget it, and they completely crushed the league during all summer, only to fumble at the last minute just the last stop. So like Team Loco could be pretty much like that if they want. I think they have a very good setup for themselves. I think FlyQuest should still be better than Cloud9. By average, I will still favor them for the top two. Why? Because they have a lot more experience playing together and winning together. And Cloud9, I still don't think changing Fudge, it's going to change that much with this team. I don't know if that is really the thing that will push them forward. Maybe I'm not considering coach. They did change coach, which is like kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. So that could be the thing that makes Cloud9 actually potentially become the super team that everyone was expecting. But I want to keep my expectations lower for Cloud9. I think FlyQuest should still probably be, just because they play more like quad for Jensen, shouldn't be that much of a change for them, except they get like a slightly better laner, I guess. I don't know, but like they get a slightly better player, but like it's just, and they don't have to adjust that much the way they play. Cloud9 might have to adjust to playing with a new player, and it's like a little bit. I still don't think Fudge is a much, but the coaching thing, I hadn't thought about that. Rippert could just work his magic, you know. Rippert is one of the greatest coaches in the LCS history, so like, yeah, that's a little bit of a big deal. I still, as I said, I want to keep my expectations low because I was already burned by this team being super, super bad. Like they were losing games in ways this team should not lose games, guys. I don't know. This team was so disappointing to watch.
Yeah.
Considering the talent they have on it, it's just so disappointing to watch them. So like, I am like, if Berserker plays the way he was, if Berserker plays at his best, if Vulcan can keep up his status, if Joyopian stops fucking trolling on stage games, and I don't know, if Blaber just remembers he's just the North American goat that still's playing the game, so like maybe Clown I can win in LCS, but I'm gonna keep it down. Dignitas, I do have tentatively in the top four, but I'm still very, very saying this with very much caution because I just think Dignitas is cursed. They should, in theory, be better than 100 Thieves, than Energy, than Shopify Rebellion, and than Immortals, but who knows? It's Dignitas. They can always be worse.
Yeah.
100 Thieves, I think they have run out of fire. I think it showed in playoffs that they were already kind of running out of momentum. I don't know if they can recover it. They were already very bad in scrims, according to everyone. And no one had any idea how they were winning in stage games. And they started losing stage games, and it started looking really, really bad. So they didn't make any changes. I hope, I'm sure they have a lot of faith in the pieces they are developing. So that's good for them, but I still don't think they're going to have the same results they had at Split. Like they were leading the standings for a long time last Split, and I don't think that's going to happen this time because teams have probably already figured out how 100 Thieves is winning. And also, best of three may change a lot about this team because, you know, a lot of the games they won could have swung the other way really easily. And, you know, it's just a thing about best of three really changes that in the way that you cannot get away with just winning one game for that you had no business winning, you know. Energy should be so much better than this, but I'm not gonna trust them to be honest. Like I think if Palafox just remembers who he is, this team could be top three, but it hasn't happened, so I cannot trust them anymore. Sorry. Also, their bot lane is like, what, guys, this is who he was, like the best support in the LCS last year. What's going on here? Come on, guys, please. We cannot be this bad. And then I do think Shopify should be slightly better now that they have the disguise core of Tomio, Sazel, and Fake God instead of the mismatched TSM versus disguise core that they had. Like, the change they made little sense to me. Like, why did you remove Chime when you had a perfectly fine core in Chime, Boogie, and Insanity? but now they have the DS guy, the Disguise Core, which was Feigot, Seisol, and Tomio. So I do think this team should, in average, perform better, especially if Insanity plays carries and not self-bullies himself by playing tanks. Hopefully they can do better, perform better. They could. I think this team could be better than Energy if Energy continues to go the same way they were. Honestly, Energy was pretty freaking bad. I think the standings didn't show up how bad they were, because so many games they won out of contracts, miracle stealing something, and then they win it. Like, yep. Legitimately, this team shouldn't have even been in playoffs. So, like, if they still are on that BS, they are going to get eaten up. They are not going to make playoffs again. Immortals, people were saying that they were very good on screams, but I don't think they were quite as bad, but I still don't feel, I feel, I also feel the same way as Dignitas. I feel like Immortals are cursed. And so, like, I never put that much trust in them. Sorry. And yeah, that's my thoughts on all of the teams. But yeah, I'm really hoping Dignitas goes well. I'm rooting for Shopify because I love Tomio. Tomio is one of my favorite players. And I really hope they will show the way these guys used to play, which was like they were playing very much around like the tempo that Tomio, Seizo were putting on the map. So like, I really hope they will take that. I really hope TL doesn't forget that they know how to win now, because sometimes they will throw games randomly because some team will do something really weird. But like, surely they got over that, right? I think they have very good performance on their side, so like, I think this team should be very good. I hope Cloud9 will be as good as their potential. I doubt it. And yeah, Dignitas, I'm looking forward to see Sven play again. That's it. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Mage, you're up.
Oh boy. Well, okay, so let's start off with the obvious. Team Liquid, number one, baby. They're always number one. They've never not been number one. They can't tell me otherwise. Realistically, Team Liquid probably is going to win or be in the top in some capacity. They showed a lot of really, really great strengths at MSI. They have shown exponential growth in both APA and Yan, which I can only be super happy about. Like Andrea was saying, they know how to win. They learned how to win, which is really, really great.
Very important thing for a team to know.
Yeah, it's super important, you know, shockingly, which is really good. And I don't know. I have a lot of confidence in them. I think I'm not super worried about MSI hangover. I'm pretty confident in them, just overall. Like, I don't know how else to put it. I'm just confident in them walking into the split and just doing well. Second, I have FlyQuest. I think FlyQuest is still a very good team. I think that the introduction of Quad is going to be fine. I don't necessarily think it's going to change very much. Like, I don't think the leadership of the team is going to change very much. Like, the in-game comms are probably not going to get altered too much. I would say where I have a little bit of pause is this. I think Whippo is currently in his current form, as of what we have seen, is a regular season Andy who will do really well during the regular season and then absolutely botch it when it comes to the important games. So I can totally see him faltering his way to second place again. Inspired is really good. I think Inspired is consistently good. I think he falls apart when the pieces around him fall apart. I don't have a lot to say about Quad. I think Masu is one of the strongest AD carries in the league, in all honesty. I think his first split was really, really good. I think the second split can only be a lot better. I think he was the strongest part of FlyQuest at MSI, and I have a lot of confidence in this player individually. Busio is going to throw a lot of games.
Oh my god.
He's going to throw a lot of games. Yep. He is lacking in confidence. He is lacking in experience. He needs to calm the fuck down. And if he can find a way to calm down, his team will carry him to a win. I am absolutely certain of this. My bar for FlyQuest is second place. I don't think they can win. My floor for FlyQuest is losing everything. Last place.
Oh, wow.
I think this team has every potential to be very, very good. But I think if there is if Quad for some reason interjects some huge leadership issues, if Busio does not feel good, if Whippo is not feeling good, this team will crumble exponentially and they will fall from grace like Icarus. That's how I feel about this team. In third place, I have Dignitas. Now, the reason why I have Dignitas in third is because I love these pieces. I love these players. I think this is a very good balance between a strong supporting cast and a very good hyper carry cast. I think AD carry is by far and has been the most important role in professional play, and more so now than it's been in a while. And Sven is going to do a very good job being a hard carry for this team. And because he is also so vocal, he's going to have a very good way of being like, hey, I need this right now, and we need to do this, and this is going to be our win condition. And I have a lot of confidence in that. They are going to have jitters because this is the first time that this squad has played together, and they are a little bit behind because a lot of these teams have already had a lot of core pieces play together for a while now. So that is a bit worrisome. But overall, I think this team is very well constructed. It is like it was like what the team McDonald's, the team McDonald's, yes, super, yes, team. McDonald's. It's really good. It's a really good fucking team McDonald's. And I will also say this: Jensen needs to make it back to Worlds, and I think this is his ticket. I think he can do it with Dignitas. I have Cloud9 in fourth. Changing Fudge does not change fucking anything in this team.
Oh my god, yeah.
It changes absolutely fucking nothing. You cannot convince me otherwise. Fudge was not necessarily the problem on this squad. There were so many other issues. Those issues will still stand until proven otherwise. Like we were discussing earlier in past episodes and right now, maybe the introduction of Reaper is going to be really good for them. But like, I don't know. It's really hard for me to say that the squad is going to be anything better than a fourth place team going into this. They have a lot of really great individual talent, but we're going to see how well that actually gets implemented together as five, because what we saw before was a fucking struggle. And I do not have a lot of confidence in their bot lane as of right now. I do not have a lot of confidence in their top side, and they are very shaky. I think they will very well be able to beat half of the league, but I don't know if they can actually reach the upper echelon in the way that we've seen Cloud9 do it in the past. In fifth, I have Immortals. I have been an Immortal stan since I watched them last split, since I watched them the split before them. I actually like this team, and I like this organization. I think this team is actually made up of pretty good pieces. My biggest criticism that has always been standing about this team is I think Armeo is by far the weakest part of this team. He looks completely fucking lost on the map sometimes, and he is primarily the reason why they lose a lot of fucking games. And if he can pull his shit together, there is a chance that this team can punch up into the top four and the top half of the league, but I would not necessarily bet on it. I think this team was a lot better than what they showed last split. I think the best of threes are going to show just how good they might have actually been. I think Ole and Tactical are a really good bot lane. I have a lot of confidence in them in particular. And I am excited to see them in a best of three, because I think the best of ones did not do well for them last split. And I think if they had best of threes then, we might have seen NRG and 100 Thieves falter a little bit more, and we might have seen Immortals win a little bit more. That being said, moving on, I have kind of like this three-way-ish tie for 6th, 7th, and 8th between Immortals, 100 Thieves, NRG, and Shopify. I'll start off with who I probably think is going to come in last. I fucking hate Shopify. I think Shopify is a poorly constructed team in general. I think overall their pieces are totally fine, but none of them together really seem great. I did follow the disguised team that won the split that they actually played in NACL, and that was a lot of fun to watch. They were not really that good, in all honesty. They were like they were totally fine. They would have probably been in the top seven of LCS, which is exactly where they pretty much are right now as well. They were a totally fine team that did a very good job in tier two, and they have a lot of pretty decent individual players who worked well together. But I don't know if that's going to be enough here, especially because I fucking despise Insanity. Oh. I think Insanity is a sham of a mid laner.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, 100 Thieves, I mean, I said this team was fraudulent last year. Totally, I'm sticking to that. I think they're still fucking fraudulent. I don't think they're actually that good. I think they have maybe the weakest bot lane in all of LCS. I'm not going to lie. I think their bot lane is fucking terrible. I hate watching them play the video game. Fucking locking and... Oh, God. Seraphine and shit. And then just the positioning. And they never seem to be on the right page with the other half of the fucking team. And it's just like... When, especially with the priority the bot lanes are at the moment, where it's like, hey, you're going to be able to win the entire game off of one good bot lane pick, I don't have that confidence in Meech, bro. I do not have that confidence in fucking 100 Thieves at the moment. And I don't think they have a good support staff to put around a bot lane to make them do really well. So it's like, we're going to have to see carry games out of top and mid and jungle, which I'm not super confident in at the moment in the pro meta. So we'll see, and that's obviously something that can change with the meta. NRG, holy fuck, did this team fall apart? Holy fuck, this team looks absolutely fucking dead. Yeah. Like this team looks like I don't even know, like 2022 China, bro. Like they looked like shit. Like we know that they're probably really good, but they looked fucking terrible.
How did we
right?
just win a championship and then come back and look like this when I don't?
I have no clue. How the fuck does that happen? It's like they completely forgot how to play the game. I don't know. Mm. It's like Ignar was not the only reason why they won either.
Yeah,
like
no,
there's,
no. I mean,
you
no.
cannot put that on like, oh, they changed their support. No, that didn't fucking affect them like this. They did not drop to this level of play because of one player being changed.
Yeah.
No, and I don't know. I have such low confidence in them right now. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Watching playoffs, I looked into Dokla's eyes. That man looked completely dead.
Oh my God.
He looked completely dead. He looked completely fucking out of it. He was also sick, but it was like him and like Palafox, like, they just looked so dejected from playing the game.
Yeah.
Like the only person that looked like they were like happy to be on stage was Contracts.
He was
and
the
then
only
after,
person
like,
alive, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, man. Unless they changed their attitude or something, maybe something changed in the offseason and they did some like really good team building, but like as of their form from last split, I have very little confidence in this team, which is why I can see them being in last place or vying for bottom three of the league.
Painful, but yes, if nothing changes, same. Well, there you have it, folks, our power ranking, and that gets us ready to get started. Tune in to watch the LCS happening this weekend, and tune in to watch the NACL also coming to you on YouTube now. Lots of changes, that's all I can put. Whether you're excited about it, whether you're trepidatious about it, you know, let us know. Contact us, hit us up on social media, you know, listen, subscribe, tell your friends about it. You know, tell all your fan buddies about it, because we want to hear your voice this split. We want to hear your voice for a long, long time. Be a fan. Have a good night, everyone.
Goodbye.